Welcome everyone back to the Multiple Takes podcast. I again am one of your hosts, Jacob Hall.
And I'm Graham Harris. Jake, it's great to be back on the podcast with you for another episode.
It is great. Next time I'm going to have you intro probably because I intro every time.
Okay, we're going to mix things up a little bit.
We're going to mix things up a little bit. I don't know. Probably I'll forget about it the next time we do it.
That is probably true.
But yeah, man. Look, we're talking about the movie I recommended to you last week, as well as one film that's out in theaters that is, I think, making almost all of the money, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's still doing... How many weeks could it come out? Did it come out 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was like right... It was right around the time we recorded the last episode, so probably 2 weeks ago. Because okay. I think okay. I saw it like the day before we recorded it.
Right, I get you. Okay, so
it's
cool.
It's been a little while, but I'm pretty familiar with the story.
From the animated and this one.
It wasn't the first time I had seen it, believe it or not.
There you go. Very good. Well, cool, man. So we got How to Train Your Dragon, the 2025 live action version. I was trying to think of what year it was there for a moment. 2025 live action version that's also kind of animated, as you've referred to a couple of times even in our last podcast.
It's the slightly less animated version of How to Train Your Dragon.
Right. So if you guys don't know the story, I'm trying to find the... I wonder, just read the synopsis for those who probably haven't seen it. Because funny enough, when I saw it, one of the people I saw it with was my girlfriend, and she had not seen the original. So,
wow.
For those who didn't... Okay, that's too long of a description. I'm just going to read this one. As an ancient threat endangers both Vikings and dragons alike on the Isle of Berk, the friendship between Hiccup and an inventive Viking and Toothless, a Night Fury dragon, becomes the key to both species forging a new future together. That seems like a...
Very beautiful.
More of a description of the entire movie, but anyway. Okay, cool.
Well, yeah, I mean... But,
well, listen, look. If you have watched the original animated one, you probably know what you're getting into with this. We have so many live-action versions of films coming out, mainly from Disney. This is the first one from DreamWorks, which is interesting because you have a different studio. And fun fact, Graham, I don't know if you realize this, you have two live-action films coming out that came out this year, Lilo and Stitch and How to Train Your Dragon, that were both... The originals were directed by people who were involved with these live-action versions as well. Chris Sanders and Dean DeBlois?
Yeah. Well, didn't both Chris Sanders and Dean DeBlois do the first How to Train Your Dragon? And
yeah, they did the first How to Train and Lilo and Stitch.
There you go. Oh, I didn't realize that the two of them did Lilo and Stitch. Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy to think, you know, years later after Lilo and Stitch, they had How to Train Your Dragon, and then more years later, in the same year, you have both these live action films coming out, which is interesting. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. but with that said, man, look, I have my thoughts on this, but I do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first because I actually have a little story to tell Jake, and it will
it will
make everything about how I feel about this movie hopefully make a little bit more sense. Okay. So this is a real life story. We're going back to my freshman year of college.
Oh, we're going back a bit.
It was almost 10 years ago now. And I was taking my freshman year of college, I was taking English Composition 101. And one of the final projects in that class was really tough. I don't really love English, and like the professor was really hard, but like fair, and I grew a lot in that class in like my ability to write. And one of the last projects that we had was writing like a 5 or 6 page essay on a certain work of literature. And I think it was like assigned to us, like whatever piece that we were going to have to write about. And so I don't remember what it was, but I wrote mine and like worked really hard on it and like gave it my all and turned it in and was really proud of my work. And I think I got like a high B on this assignment. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I earned that. Like I worked pretty hard, you know. I wasn't super good at writing at that point, but I had grown a lot. I flunked the first couple of assignments, but like worked my butt off, got a B in the class, like felt really good about it, really felt proud of that essay.
Yeah.
And then The following semester, I took English Composition 2. And the professor in that class was much less difficult. He was kind of weird, and nobody really took him super seriously. And the first assignment that he gave us was like a 5 or 6 page essay on a piece of literature that we could choose. And on the list of pieces of literature that we could choose to write about was the same one that I had written about the previous semester.
Oh,
maybe okay. Maybe you know where the story's going, Jake.
I feel like I know. There's a copy and paste button.
So I opened up that document and I changed the date and the professor's name and I resubmitted it.
Oh man!
And I turned it in. And the day that the professor was, like, giving the papers back...
You pulled a gamer move.
He's putting them, like, face down on everybody's desk. And he puts it face down on my desk and he goes, I need to talk to you after class.
Uh-oh.
And I was like...
Oh, no.
I was like, dang. Like, you're he done. Caught me. I'm done. I'm going to get expelled or, like, banned from college or whatever. Like, this is going to be bad. I'm going to have to tell my parents. Uh-huh. And I flip over my paper and it has an... a 100 written on the front of it.
Oh my gosh.
And when I went up to his desk after class, he was like, you really should consider switching your major from mechanical engineering to something to do with literature or writing. He was like, this is the best paper I've ever received for this assignment. And yeah, I knew I got 100 on that paper, and all my friends that like worked really hard on that paper got like B's and C's, and they were like really mad at me, but I turned in a paper that I had already turned in, and I got a 100. And that's how I feel really about How to Train Your Dragon, because this is it's the same movie that we've already seen, and they're just re-releasing it in theaters with like a different coat of paint on top in order to make $1 billion or whatever. Like, they don't do anything new. There's not a new story to tell. There's no like new vision. It's just, let's take a scene from the animated one and, like I said, make it slightly less animated, and we're just going to return it in. And it's a copy and paste all the way. If you haven't seen the original in a while, which I didn't actually rewatch it for this, but if you haven't seen it in a couple of years, you'd be hard-pressed to figure out anything that's different about this new one from the original. Now, thinking about it now, I can think of a few scenes that they added, but it's really minimal stuff. So, and just like my English paper, I think this movie is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that it's a good movie is because they're copying a movie that was already a good movie.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, this is probably the best live-action remake, but also it does the least in terms of justifying its own existence, because it's so similar to the original that, like, and I have the same problem with most of these live action remakes. I don't know why I'd watch one of them over the original, but this one especially, because at least with Lilo and Stitch, for all of the things that I don't like about it,
I was about to say, you're going to refer to a good thing about Lilo and Stitch?
They tried to do something different with it. Like, they made some changes, and all of them were bad. Granted, like, all of them made the movie worse, but they at least someone saying, like, let's do our version of this, and it's worse than the original one, but they're doing, you know, they're giving it an honest try, maybe. Same thing goes for Snow White. Like, they're making changes, a lot of them don't work, but you know what, they're trying to, like, spin it and make something new here while also making something that's not new. This is not spinning or making anything new. This is just the same movie again. Hmm. And so, like, it's probably the best one, because they don't do like what Disney does, where they make all these changes to make it worse. But also, I can't judge it fairly, because it's not like a new movie. It's just the same movie that already happened.
Hmm.
And so, like, okay. I can't, yeah, it's tough, because, yeah, like, I do think that it is way better than any other live-action remake movie, but the fact that it's so painfully unoriginal and so, like, just copy and paste, it just, like, I just can't, I can't get past that. So that kind of affects everything about how I feel about it, is because it's just copy and paste.
Right. One thing I want to ask, just in that though, too, like with the copy and paste, what was your thoughts? I mean, because one of the biggest things you have with a live action is, especially with a film like this, is visually, like how it looks,
sure,
and how the CGI even blends well or not well with the live action actors. How do you feel like that went? As an overall, because I know that, again, I know it's, that's a, the dragon stuff is obviously still animated, like the original animated film,
right.
But even with some of the things, I don't know, for me personally, I noticed there were little differences even in how maybe some of the dragons were designed, whether it be in the face or the textures of the scales on the dragons or whatever it looked, some little things that actually made it look more real. And I was just curious what your thoughts were overall visually. CGI would
I mean, like, Toothless looks basically the same, like, and for the most part it looks pretty good, like the CGI looks pretty good. It's obvious that there's like a lot of times where the guy that's playing Hiccup, Mason Thames, that he's like working with a green screen, and so because it's not like, it's not animated, like you do lose a little bit of that personality, because, you know, you have a real human working with a green screen, and it that's kind of noticeable. Some of the dragons, they made them look less cartoony and more real. And I don't like that, because it's just, like, it's a cartoony, like, it's a cartoony movie. It's a movie about people riding dragons. Like, it's not, it's only so, like, gritty, I don't know, like, it's only so real you can make it. And... Yeah. And I think when you try to get rid of the cartooniness, what you end up doing is getting rid of the personality that a lot of the dragons have. And, like, I can think about the original and how, like, all the dragons, all the, like, main kind of dragons have kind of a unique personality. But in this one, it's so muted that, like, I just don't think, like, it's so hard to go from animation to live action. It's already hard to do that, but when you're trying to go, like, one-for-one shots and, like, try to do everything so closely to the original, it just looks worse. You're losing personality, you're losing charm.
Yeah.
It's just worse. And yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any scene here that really made me think, oh, wow, this is a step up from the original. Like, everything just kind of either looks sort of the same or looks worse. I thought some of the flying scenes, like the lighting and stuff, was pretty rough in the CG.
Okay.
Like, it just didn't do it for me. Yeah, I mean, I still, like I said, it's the best live action remake because they're just copying what was already good. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay. Like, that's pretty much all that I have to say about How to Train Your Dragon, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I get you.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this movie.
This movie is one of those that, you know, I don't know for you, Graham, like, taking out the fact that Disney has done a lot of live action remakes of most of, I mean, you even look back, it's not like a recent thing. I think the first time they really did it was 101 Dalmatians, or maybe one of the Jungle Books.
I think 101 Dalmatians, that was like 99. Like, technically the first live-action remake, but the trend really didn't get started until, like, the early 2010s with, like...
Right.
What was it? The Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast.
Right. And so, in that, you always have that big thing of, you know... I get the thoughts that people have said, you know, like, like, it's a, you have one movie, one people will say, like, oh, don't ruin the original by changing everything, so keep everything the same. But then you have some that will say, why did you change everything, and now it looks nothing like the original? And it's like, no matter what you do, it seems like there's no way to, there's almost no middle ground, it seems like, from what I've seen. Look, with if we're talking about the recent ones we've got, we had Snow White and Lilo and Stitch that came out this year. Yeah. And you had Snow White that you liked more. I think you liked a tad bit more than me. And it was one of those things where even more and more I think about it, like that opening scene I loved with the musical number that was a completely new thing, and I loved it. And then the rest of it just meh to me. And then Lilo and Stitch, I actually liked way more than you, and I didn't mind some of the changes, but even in it, there was a lot more changes than I expected. Even with characters not even being fully there, like Gantu or anything like that. And so you got one that feels like it's kind of like Snow White, where it changed things and kept the same. It's a weird amalgamation. Lilo and Stitch, where it felt like it stayed more true to the original, but also changed a couple of things too. And then you got How to Train Your Dragon, that's directed by the same director, or one of the same directors of the original.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back and directs this film. And I will say this, to me, I don't know if you feel the same way, but for me, one thing that I see about this, what DreamWorks said, is like, you know what? We need to go back. I think this was smart. We need to go back to the person, or one of the directors that made this movie what it was. Let's go back to one of the original animated directors. And even though he's never done live action, let's give him a chance to make it. And look, if we're just looking at that, the fact that he was able to make his first live action movie, even though it was a redone version of the original one he did, mad props for him doing his first live action movie in with a big fantasy-like kind of thing with How to Train Your Dragon and everything. I gotta say that. But also, I gotta say, for me, I saw a lot more of heart in this live action. And maybe that's not the right word, than most other live action remakes. Because they usually hand it off to a director that may, you never know if they love or hate the original or what they think of the original. This one, he's like, he worked on it and he knew what it was like. And he, I think, made, yes, there were some lines that were so direct from the original that I think worked well in live action. And then there were some that were like, that worked better in animation. like, even as someone who actually liked this movie quite a bit, like, I think there were some lines that worked better in animation, but some lines that actually worked in live action, or worked sometimes even better in live action, the way they were done or handled and such. I actually did recently watch the animated one. I think it was like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And watching it, I'm like, that was okay. They changed that about the live action. Oh, they didn't have the scene that was there in live action. Okay. So like they changed a couple of little things, like, Burke is no longer just this one clan of Vikings. It's multiple clans of different people from all around coming there and trying to kill off the dragons and all that kind of stuff. Or you have, and obviously Astrid looks different. Roughnut and Toughnut are not twins anymore. Like there's little things that changed. I actually liked, I think you said his name is Mason Thames.
Yeah.
Who did Hiccup. I felt like he gave the spirit and heart of Hiccup, but just in his own way.
Interesting. Disagree, but go on.
To me, it was maybe not as funny, but a little bit just more of that awkwardness of Hiccup and how he acted. Again, I'm not saying that every single line, every single delivery of it was always great. But I really liked overall how they approached it. I know the music is probably beat for beat the exact same music from the original. And because they have the original guy coming back for the music, I don't care. The music's still fantastic. So watching that flying scene. And I think that's some stuff that I was looking forward to the most, was seeing some of that flying and everything in the live action form. Because yeah, I watch it animated. I love how it looks. It looks beautiful in animation. But making it actually feel like there's a real person, like, there's a quote, real person on a real dragon. I know it's not a real dragon, but like flying through the air and hearing that music. I don't know. It just added something to it to me. I liked how they did a few little things different. I liked that they made the dragons look a little bit more realistic. Because I know they're cartoons and it's based on a cartoon, But I think that there is some things you gotta change into going into it. Honestly, I don't know. I think that this movie for me, and I know it's been a little bit since I've watched it, I think over a week since I've watched live action as well. But the thing I really liked about the film was it, to me, gave the heart of the original, changed a few little things, kept much of the same lines as the original, and still, in my opinion, still felt like a new experience. Just having, I felt like I was back in that world, but in a new way. With Lilo and Stitch and Snow White, like, I never grew up with Snow White, but if you're talking about Lilo and Stitch, I remember growing up with that film, and it felt like that, quote, same world, but for some reason, I don't know what it was, but How to Train Your Dragon, watching that live action, it felt like I was back in that world again. But even though things were a little, even though things weren't completely changed, it felt like a little bit of a different experience. And I think that's just, at least personally for me, I think that's just how it's going to be when you try to do anything from animation to live action, or the rare occasion when it's live action to animated. Like, it's going to look different or feel different regardless. I thought the acting was overall good. I know there was complaints about Astrid and how she acted.
Yeah, there definitely are.
I don't know. I think that was one of those things where maybe I didn't see as much of the problems, like, because I was watching the animation, and again, I want to judge a film on its own merits, but I was watching the animation, and I know there was a little bit more expressiveness, a lot more expressiveness, because it's animated, you can animate all those things and everything, but honestly, some of the expressiveness was from the animation to live action, was some of the way it was acted seems very similar the way they were acting some of those things. I'm not saying all the time, I'm just saying that from what I could tell.
That's how I feel about the, like, all of the acting, including, like, the guy that does Hiccup, whereas it feels like, it almost doesn't feel like they're acting, it feels more like they're, like, he's trying to do a Hiccup impression, and it just comes off as not as good as the original. It comes off, like, kind of insincere, because it just doesn't feel like it's him. It feels like it's him trying to imitate a performance that's already happened. And so, like, that's my biggest issue with the acting, is that it all feels like just, like, really thin and like a bad imitation. The only one, ironically, that is good, I think, is Gerard Butler. But that's because he's doing himself, so it works. Like,
yeah.
But none of the rest of it is. It just, yeah. I don't know. Like, and I think, like, maybe I'm really cynical, and I know that, like, this is a movie that's made for kids, and I'm, like, probably not the target audience. But when I watch, you mentioned Snow White and Lilo and Stitch,
mm-hmm.
and those movies, again, for all their flaws, they make changes, and I can pretend, I know this isn't the case, but I can almost suspend my disbelief enough to go, you know, that's somebody who liked this work and had a vision on how to, like, make it their own. And while I still think that making your own original art is always better, you know, if you take something and make it your own, like, that can be good. You know, I think about, like, the A Star Is Born movies, right? Each one of those, they just keep remaking the same movie, but each one of them has a different vision and a different, like, different people involved, and there are changes. The story remains similar, but there are changes, and each one feels different. Whereas with How to Train Your Dragon, like, there is no, I can't suspend my disbelief and say, yeah, they really wanted to, like, take this story and do it in a new way. Like, we know that Dean DeBlois was involved in this project, but the reason that he was involved was because DreamWorks was like, hey, we're going to do this whether you want to be a part of it or not. And he was like, well, this is my baby. I do want to, like, be a part of this. So I can't really blame him for, like, taking part in this. But also, like, there is no way you could convince me that there's any sort of artistic intention. Like, it's just a money grab. It's that's the whole reason this movie exists is, hey, people like How to Train Your Dragon. Why don't we just put it in theaters again and get people to give us $1 billion? And so, like, that just totally zaps any, like, with Snow White, I can see, like, it's I can see somebody being like, hey, here's the story. Let's change some stuff to it and, like, make it a new thing. And, yeah, like, it was bad. Like, they failed, at, like, miserably. But they at least, there's at least, like, I can suspend my disbelief enough to, like, believe that there's some artistic intention there. But I just can't with How to Train Your Dragon because it's just, like, it's nothing but a money grab. And that's, like, part of the reason why, for me, I just can't, like, get behind it.
Yeah.
Because it's not art. It's not art for art's sake. It's art for money's sake, which is always bad.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, studios are in the business of making money. No matter what movie put it out for the most part. So
you make a good point. That is a very frustrating element of cinema.
Right. But at the same time, I hear what you're saying. I think, I don't know, it was, and you know, I actually purposely didn't watch the animated before watching the live action. And I think because I hadn't watched it for so long, I went in and it almost felt like it was fresh. I didn't even feel like I had to push the animated one out of my brain. It was kind of already out. Not like that I forgot all the things, because obviously I remember Test Drive. I obviously remember these moments that were iconic from the original. But I liked some of the things. It's kind of funny. I've seen a lot of stuff going around of, like, you know, when the director, Dean, was making the film, like, he's like, all right, I'm going to... Again, we don't know people's actual intentions or whatnot, but the way he at least was described was he cast Astrid because he felt like she was the best person for it, but then he changed so many different of the I guess, ragtag group of misfits riding the dragons, because you got Roughnut, Toughnut, no longer twins. You have... I think that may have been the big change to that whole group. You had I think if I remember correctly, you had more of a son trying to make his dad proud with, I forget the guy's name, one of the guys who's always trying to impress Astrid, but I forget his character's name. It's not Fishlegs. It's not
Snout Loud or whatever.
Snout Loud. Yeah. Like, I remember they added that little thing of him trying to impress his dad. I will say it was kind of funny. It was like, hey, Dad, don't talk to me in public. Okay. Yeah. Like, I don't remember that from the original or anything like that. And if I remember correctly, when I watched it, it wasn't in there. And so I liked when they tried to add little things. I will say, and I'm not saying that it's going to, you know, they've already announced the sequel. They're making it. And it's, this movie, I think, is already made. I know for you, you're like, ugh. But no, like, I think the directors even come out for, and I'm assuming it's Dean again, and he said that he wants to actually change some things that he wished he had changed in the original sequel, which is both exciting and concerning for me, because the sequel, too, may be my favorite, if I remember correctly. So I don't know.
He's gonna pull a George Lucas on us.
maybe. I don't know. But I will say this. I think, and I could be wrong about this, this is kind of more along the movie and, like, how it was made, but if I saw correctly, the budget for the original versus this one, the live action may have cost a little bit less than the original. And if that's the case, that's weird. I was trying to look it up, but my internet's not working. I think I saw something that was like one.
The original was 165. Yeah. This one was 150. I mean, that's estimated. Like, so it's pretty close, but...
Yeah, and that may not include marketing. But even in that, if that's the case, like, for how much it costs without the marketing, that's kind of crazy that they made this one for less, when I would think that it would cost more, or it would cost more than the animated one, but... I don't know,
like,
that.
To have all those people, like, on a set or whatever, it would cost more, but...
You talked about Gerard Butler. This is one last thing you just thought. I think it was Nick Kroll who played Gobber.
Nick
I thought
Frost.
He did a fun, or Nick Frost, sorry. Nick Frost playing Gobber. I thought did actually a really fun job. From the he's not in the movie a lot, but like from the moments you have him, I thought he did a good job in playing off of Stoic for the times he got to. Actually, was pretty. He felt like the animated one, and also felt like he wasn't trying to do an impression of him.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Frost is a good actor, so he can. Not surprising. I think that he's one of the better parts of the movie.
I think when he, it's just a small moment. It's always a small moment that makes me laugh the most, where it's like, he goes, it's like, Stoic goes, see, when I was a boy, and he goes, oh, here we go. He's just saying, it's like, you know, he's, that felt like a more improvised line than anything. So, look, I personally really did enjoy this film, and I think part of that also comes from, I'll admit, probably from the having the animated one out of my brain for a while, even though I had heard the music so much. And so getting to see it in a weird way with fresh eyes, almost like I hadn't seen it before. And then getting to watch the animated one again, I felt like I could see, I almost wish I could like watch it side by side comparison and then be like the Leo meme from Once Upon a Time. I was like, hey, whoo, whoo. Like what's the same? What's different? Because I felt like some of the things that weren't after watching the animated that they added actually helped. Like I liked that the Viking clan wasn't just one full clan. It was like a whole group of them trying to extinguish the dragons and Stoic trying to keep them all there. So they do that before they all go back off to wherever they're all from or whatnot. I liked that they kept, honestly, I was shocked that they didn't change the ending. Like they kept the ending very much just about exact the same. Yeah. Everything from the fight with the dragon. The one thing they didn't keep, though, I've heard people complain about, is the scene where Hiccup realizes that dragons are not fireproof inside. They're only fireproof on the outside. They
got rid of like that explanation so that like when it gets to the moment and like the climax of the moment, you're like, what's going on? Like.
Like, wait, why would he burn up from the...
Yeah.
I heard the director's reasoning. I will say I disagree a little bit with it. Like, I get what he's saying.
What was his reason?
But his reasoning was it felt like it slowed down the movie.
Well, everything about this movie is slowed down. It's like 20 minutes longer.
Well, yeah. But, no, like, But at the same time, I was like, you know, I feel like you maybe could have cut out some of those little extra lines and put that, because that scene's actually pretty quick. I will say,
and also like
dragon,
kind of important for like
the
resolution in the final act. Like
you and I can agree on that part. Yay. But no,
I'd kind of forgotten about that until you mentioned it. It's been,
and now you're like, oh, this just knocked the live action down to even more points. Okay.
I mean, there's not a lot of ground for it to gain at the bottom here. It's
But no, I thought that I get what he's saying in terms of he wants to keep the movie flowing and moving. I didn't feel the length of the film necessarily. If I remember correctly,
it was fine.
Super long to me, which is weird because some live action versions, you can feel the length or change of length.
Like, yeah, Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch was way longer feeling than this one was.
Well, that's good for you. Hey, there's another positive for you on this one. I really did enjoy this film. And I agree with you in the more sense, for me, like liking it a lot more. I actually think it probably is, if not the best of the, quote, live action of the more recent years movies. Because I think that at least they went back and got the director. Yeah, it was a copy and paste script for the most part, with the couple of scenes, like I mentioned, of the whole Viking stuff of the different clans, or, you know, trying to explain, I guess part of that was explaining Astrid and why she looked different. And so all of that stuff to be said, like, give credit where credit is due. Gerard Butler, even though he played this character before, man, he does a great job playing it again, especially in a live action. And I think there was an interview I saw where he goes, it's like, is this really going to look good? Like punching a dragon in live action. And I was like, I watched it and I'm in live action. I'm like, yeah, it works. I'm sold. Gerard Butler as Stoic punch it. Yep. I'm sold. You don't have to explain anything to me. He's a Viking. He just punched a dragon. That's great. I like that some of the things they really kept from the original that worked, that weren't, it didn't feel like, I know for you and I disagree with like some of the acting stuff, some different lines and how they played it off. And some of it felt lesser than the original for you. There was some things that I really liked that they kept that felt like it kept the spirit and heart of the original more than some other live action films that feel like they kind of removed that heart and spirit of it. For a lesser, whether it be lesser ending, lesser, you know, change to the story, whatever it is, you know. And I'm curious. I am curious. I know you probably have no interest in watching the sequel to the live action.
I don't think I'll be seeing it. Yeah.
But I'm curious to see if he even looks at reviews and says, like, okay, like what stuff does he want to change from the original to make it better? And hopefully, it doesn't make it worse. But yeah. What is your rating for How to Train Your Dragon 2025 live action, more animated live action film?
This is really tough. It's a low 2 out of 10 for me.
Wow.
It's closer to a 1 than it is a 3. But it's a low 2 out of 10. It just doesn't deserve to exist. It's just it's kind of a pointless movie. I've already seen it before, and yeah, just it does nothing to justify its own existence. It's 2 out of 10 for me. It's not it's still like competently filmed. Like I think I said it with the Lilo and Stitch. Like most of the stuff's in focus, you know. Like that's.
But I feel like you enjoyed this one more than Lilo and Stitch. Oh wow!
Yeah, it's hard to like. It's really close for me. It's. Like, again, this it's like a race to the bottom for all three of the live-action remakes. And after you give your rating, we can compare and contrast our ranking of the three so far. Go ahead. What are you going to give How to Train Your Dragon?
You know, it is tough because even like with the even though I disagree on some things, we also agree on a few little things in that. Like, I did feel like this, it felt like a good remake. If you were to ask me, of films before this, if this was never announced, if this live action film was never announced, if you were to help me look at like 5 films animated wise that I could see them doing live action and doing well, I would have said How to Train Your Dragon would have been one of them, just because I would love to see that stuff in a more realistic looking, hopefully more beautiful way. And I personally loved that it felt and kept the heart and spirit of the original for me personally. And I thought it was really good still. But even with that, not everything's perfect. So I got to say that probably in that understanding that I may change this later at the end of the year, 7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10. So we are true multiple takes fashion. Mm-hmm. All right. So now I mentioned it a minute ago. Okay. How would you rank the 3 live-action remakes that we've gotten this year? Snow White, Lilo and Stitch, and How to Train Your Dragon.
I mean, I feel like we both have... People probably could guess our rankings at this point from that we've talked about.
I think I know how you would rank them, but I'm just curious.
At the bottom, almost past the floor and ground, is Snow White. Again, let me be a little bit nicer on that. At the floor.
You don't have to
I'll
be.
Say at the floor.
You don't know
I know, but I'm
going to
say they had a good start with that song, and then the rest of it, I have no desire to ever watch that film again. So that first song, great. The rest of it, yeah. Then a lot more up above it is Lilo and Stitch. I thought was a good remake. Things that they changed, I wouldn't have changed, but some stuff I actually didn't mind that they changed. And I thought it was well done overall. And then way at the top, past the ceiling, How to Train Your Dragon. Just because, for me, the biggest thing I told you, felt like there was more heart put into this one than maybe those, maybe not as, maybe a little bit more than those other ones. So,
Okay, so for me, it's interesting that Snow White is the worst one for you, because Snow White, I agree that it's like bottom tier entertainment, but it's still my favorite of the three.
Oh my gosh.
It's
okay.
At least I can look at changes they made and go, you know what, that makes sense why you would change that. I can appreciate that. There are things about it that I like, and it's not many. And there's also a lot of things about it that I dislike. But there are a
many.
Few things about it that I like that I think about. I still think it's a bad movie. I mean, it's 3 out of 10 for me. It's pretty bad. But then Lilo and Stitch and How to Train Your Dragon, it's really neck and neck for me. It's really hard for me to decide which one of these I like more. Because on one hand, you have Lilo and Stitch, which tries to make changes, and every change they make is bad. Whereas How to Train Your Dragon plays it incredibly safe and makes no changes, and it's just the same movie. I think How to Train Your Dragon is my least favorite. I think Lilo and Stitch is better.
Wow, so ours is kind of flip-flopped.
I don't think Lilo and Stitch is a better movie. But I think I like Lilo and Stitch more than I like How to Train Your Dragon. Because at least it takes guts to put yourself out there and to put yourself out there and to fail like Lilo and Stitch did, you know?
Oh my god.
Still takes some guts. And that's more than I can say for How to Train Your Dragon, which had no guts. It was just the same thing we've already seen. So
listen.
Yeah. So our rankings I think are flipped. You like How to Train Your Dragon the most, and Snow White the least. I like Snow White the most, and How to Train Your Dragon the least.
It's true multiple takes fashion, and the funny thing is we still end up with Lilo and Stitch in the middle.
Yep.
And yet, we both still have, like, I really liked Lilo and Stitch. You're like, it was competently filmed, and that's it. I'm like, okay.
Lilo and Stitch is like a high 2 out of 10. No, it's also a low 2 out of 10. They're pretty close.
He goes, high, no.
No, they're pretty close. It's not, I wouldn't go so far as to call it a high 2. It's still a pretty low 2, but...
Graham, I don't know if I'm ever going to hear you say a 10 out of 10 unless we watch Revenge of the Sith
or any of the prequels or
live action.
A lot of great movies out there that I would give a 10 out of 10 to, but...
Okay.
A live action remake is never going to be one of them. I can almost certainly say that. I can't imagine... I mean, I can't say that, because there could be really good live action remakes that really change the way I look at the world, but I have a hard time imagining it from Disney and now DreamWorks is in the same camp. So
okay, I got a fun question for you.
All right, hit me with it.
The answer is gonna be just no, none. But with this criteria,
okay,
if you were like, man, I don't know if they'll ever do it, but I would love for them to take a crack at making this film a live action film. Because it also didn't get its due when it came out originally and is either underrated or not a lot of people talk about. What movie would you say deserves / could be a great treatment of that?
What movie deserves a live action remake? It would have
especially
to be
like another shot kind of thing.
Like it would have to be one that like, and this is the wrong, like this is not the right answer, but it would have to be something like Tron, where like there's something good there, but it just like it doesn't all come together, but there's some really cool ideas and it needs somebody to like rein it in.
Okay.
And hey, maybe my wish is coming true because we've got a new Tron film coming out this year, so maybe that's the one. It's not a live action remake, I guess, but
yeah.
But like in terms of like taking something that was animated and making it live action, I just don't know. That's a really tough one. I don't know if I can like.
If you want to think about it for a second,
if you
I
have,
know exactly.
If you
what
have
mine
one,
is.
Yeah, go for it. If you have one,
it's one that I think that yes, I understand. You have the wrong people behind it. You have people who don't want to do it well and right. I feel like this movie even had more potential even than the animated one it had, but I still love the animated one. It's Treasure Planet. still to this day.
So I thought about Treasure Planet. That was one of the ones that came into my mind, but I thought no, because like the look of that movie is so cool.
Yeah.
And you would just look worse.
And that's the thing. Like, I understand. It's interesting because you have movies that even come out today that are CGI and live action together, and they look so bad. Like compare like with each other. Like, the one thing I loved about this live action with How to Train Your Dragon was it felt like the blending of the CGI and the live action felt like it, for me at least, smoothly worked together. But there's some that don't. I want a Treasure Planet movie that can keep going, not necessarily bigger, but have that good personal story of a son who is, you know, lost his father's left him, and now he finds a fatherly figure that ultimately ends up being his enemy, but in some ways becomes a friend again by the end. Like, I want to see that story, but still in the epic scale that is the universe and everything. And I think you could do it if you have the right people doing it. And that's always with any movie. You have the right people doing it. I think you could do it, but then again, I understand too. I don't know. I don't know who you would put. I don't even know what filmmaker you would put on that to do. But yeah, that's always going to probably be my answer. And then they'll probably make it and either yay or nay it for me.
Yeah. I'm looking through, like, on Letterboxd, the list of animated films, and I'm like 6 or 7 pages deep. And I haven't come up with any that I think would be, that I'm like, oh yeah, that deserves a remake. I think, If you were asking my dream lineup of live action remakes, I think I would say the Emoji Movie and
oh gosh,
the Boss Baby.
The Boss Baby, I could see way more than the Emoji Movie.
Yeah, and like Ice Age 2 or something. I don't know. Like, it's, I don't like, okay, I'm just,
I yeah. Boss Baby's
the Polar Express. The Polar Express. Polar Express.
You
that's my
what?
Answer. That's my answer.
You know what? I could see that. That I actually I'm one of those.
But
hate
only
the Polar Express.
Only so. If you get Tom Hanks to do all of the roles. Like,
no, I won't. No.
Yeah, if you have it to where instead of being animated, it's just Tom Hanks doing everything. I would be
I'm
so
okay
in. That sounds incredible, actually.
I'm okay with him, Tom Hanks, playing the conductor, the hobo, and Santa. No one else. Like, no.
No, like the main hero boy, like the main character.
No.
He's got to play that too.
The movie would just be called Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I would watch it. I'd be first in line in theaters if they made a live-action remake of Polar Express, but Tom Hanks reprised all of his roles.
Just calls Tom. It's just called
what about
Tom.
What about like Cars? You think that we could do like a Cars live action remake? No. Where they're just like real cars.
You talk about Lion King being, it's not even live action, but
yeah,
like
that's yeah,
live
that's the worst
action
one.
Animation. Talk think about that, but with Cars, it would be awful. It would be terrible.
I mean, I'm thinking about the ones that could be done well, and like
yeah.
like Tarzan and Hercules are the first two to come to my mind that like. Those films could lend yeah. itself to like being acceptable in a live action. Like, there's not cartoony characters, I get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not dragons or aliens or like anthropomorphic
right.
vehicles. They're just humans and
yeah.
like some animals. And so that okay. could work, but I just don't think if you made Hercules or Tarzan live action, like Tarzan especially, you're gonna lose all the like all the emotion that the gorillas have.
Yeah,
you're probably not gonna get. You're not gonna improve upon Phil Collins and his master, like his master's work.
You gotta bring him back if you can.
Yeah, but then it's just like, but at that point it's like, oh well, why not just watch the original one again? Like,
yeah, or you know, like Tarzan is one I definitely could see. I think that ones like Treasure Planet or like Atlantis, I know a lot of people love Atlantis way more than me. I like Atlantis, but I think of Atlantis, Treasure Planet, because they didn't get their fair shot, I felt like. whether it be from the marketing when they originally came out, whether it be some people not liking them. You know, I think Treasure Planet's one of those. And I'm glad this didn't happen. Treasure Planet almost got a sequel, like a direct-to-DVD one. And I'm so glad it didn't, because you have just that one film. And yeah, it's based off a book of Treasure Island, but you have this whole crazy universe you could make with that film. And it's a very simple story at the heart of it. And so, I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that they should, but I would like to see, especially for a film like that, for me, that I still think is probably my favorite animated Disney film, is Treasure Planet. It's got like humor. It's got the heart of it. It has only has one song, but that one song, even though it sounds like a pop song, actually works to me as a part of the story. And I think it's really good. So I don't know. We'll have to see what craziness they'll come up with next, because Disney doesn't have any plan for soon. And the only one that DreamWorks has planned, I think, is How to Train Your Dragon. Although I did see something recently that said they were looking at Prince of Egypt. I don't know how true that is.
Well,
that scares me most of all, though.
Again, like, it's just going to be worse. So
yeah, we'll see.
I just don't have, I have no hope for a live action remake of any kind. Unless it's a live action remake of the Emoji Movie. That's the one that I would go see.
I will never know. Absolutely not. That movie sucked. Anyways.
Yeah, which is why there's like a great opportunity to like, oh, it was bad. Let's like make it again but make it good. They can actually, unlike Tarzan, where we're like, how could they improve on that? With the Emoji Movie, you could, the only way to go is up, so.
Oh my gosh.
In many ways,
just start remaking the direct DVD sequels of the Disney animated films. Make those better, because a lot of
Lion
them
King,
are not
Lion good. King 1.5 or whatever it was.
I would watch a quote live action esque version of that, because Timon and Pumbaa to me are the best parts of the fake live action version.
I've come up with another one that actually would be a great live action. The Super Mario Bros. Movie.
And that's a great segue. In a way, it kind of is. Oh my gosh. No, but the one reason why I was asking about this, Graham, you mentioned Super Mario Bros. That was the one you recommended last time.
It is, yep.
And I asked the remake thing. This is a film that, you know, we're about to talk about, that may be one that I don't think I've heard of a remake potentially coming, but you mentioned Tron. This is one I'm like, huh, this actually feels like it could work now if you did it now in a more modern kind of take.
I could see it like a modern spin on this. Yeah.
Yeah. But we are talking about, you're better with the years, because you probably have it right in front of you.
Oh, I do have it right in front of me. It's 1984's The Last Starfighter.
That's right. The Last Starfighter from 1984. Graham, do you have a synopsis in front of you? You want to read of what this is?
I do have a brief synopsis. This is what it says on Letterboxd, and I'm just going to go with this. It says, video game expert Alex Rogan finds himself transported to another planet after conquering the video game The Last Starfighter, only to find out it was just a test. He was recruited to join the team of best starfighters to defend their world from the attack. That's like the most vague.
Yeah.
He was recruited to join the team to defend from the attack. Like, okay, thank you for the very specific.
They're like trying not to spoil it. I'll be honest.
I appreciate that,
I barely knew anything about this movie at all. I think I had been hearing it on one of the movie shows I've watched that does a lot of movie news, that they were like, oh, this is the movie to remake. Like, this is one that deserves a remake, all this stuff, because it's outdated, but man, it could work today kind of thing. I'm going to go first on this one.
Yeah, you go first, because I'm sure you have a lot more to say. You may have more to say about this than I do.
So this movie, I honestly didn't know. I was like, oh crap. Like today I was like, oh crap. I need to watch that movie. And I put it on. First off, got to say this up front. Hour and 40 minutes, I thought, oh, this is going to feel long. To me, the movie actually felt like it flew by.
Yeah, it doesn't drag too much.
Like, at one point, I was like, wait, how far am I in the movie? And then I realized I was halfway through. I'm like, wait, what?
I think that's helped by the fact that, like, the first, like, 30 minutes of this movie, like, it's just, like, him hanging out in the trailer park.
Yeah, it's very much set up.
Yeah.
For what it's supposed to be. And, all right, so, look, if you haven't seen this movie, it's 1984. You should go watch it. But also, we're probably going to talk about spoilers for this since this is over 30-year-old movie. Right? This is a 30-year-old movie, correct?
It's 31.
Yeah. No,
it's 41, Jake.
Yeah, okay.
It's 2025.
Yes, definitely over 30. Yes. When you forget what year it is. Yeah, so,
I'm like, what? Look, 1984 was just 16 years ago, Jake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same year that Daniel won with a crane kick in the All-Valley tournament. Anyways. So I didn't know what was going to happen when I was watching this movie. It reminded me a little bit of Tron in the sense of some of the effects.
It reminded me a ton of Tron.
Right, yeah. In the sense of, like, it felt Star Wars-esque. It felt Star Trek-esque. It felt like they were all kinds of different amalgamations from different, like, kind of sci-fi stuff. Tron-esque. Like, it felt like all these different amalgamations. And yet, it felt like its own kind of story.
Yeah.
Like, it was truly trying to be, hey, almost like a what-if situation. What would happen if your favorite video game you played called out to you and you became a starfighter in this galactic war conflict you had no idea about that was going on? And I'm watching this film, and the trailer park stuff, I'm like, okay, I like this. You know, the quote love story they have. First off, the movie starts with the two characters already being in love. I thought there was going to be like a big like breakup scene. There really wasn't much of that. There was kind of that, but not really. Yeah. And there was very much like they kept that focus there. They all stuff. But this movie, I got to say this just upfront, overall was a really fun movie. I think that's the best way I could put it. It was fun. And then also at times I'm like, hold on. This is rated PG. There are multiple moments where this should not be rated PG.
When it was
the
80s, like anything could be rated PG in the 80s.
I think the original Footloose is rated PG. And I said, the language in that suggests otherwise.
We watched Back to the Future pretty recently. And is that one's rated PG, I think.
It might be. I mean, look, all the Star Wars movies up until Revenge of the Sith, all the Star Wars movies are rated PG.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're like, okay, like, all right, this is interesting. So besides that, with some of the jokes from adult magazines and some very interesting, like there was like some interesting, like violence that they had for some of the characters. I'm like, are you sure? Like, it felt like Star Wars at that moment. We're like, a guy's arm got shot off. What is happening? Like, what is going on? And so you're like watching some of the stuff. You're like, okay, there's like elements of Star Wars in that. But honestly, I really had a fun time with this movie. And one of the things that I thought was really good about this, you know, you usually got those movies where the character, he gets, even in this situation, like, oh, he's played the video game, so he knows how to pilot the ship, all this stuff. I love how when he gets up, the Alex character gets up to this world of this galactic fleet, he's still like dumbfounded the whole time. And he's like, I want to go home. I want to go home. I don't want to be here. Like, yeah, the game was cool. Funny. It's a video game. Like, I felt like this was a character that was pretty realistic in terms of how he was approaching everything. Like, when he get told something and it just cuts back to him, his mouth is just wide open. Like, I just laughed a lot of those times because you're like, yeah, I'd be reacting the same too. You're telling me there's a war and you want me, a random teenager, to fight in this war? What are you talking about? Like, I thought that was actually very, like, what's the word? Like, very realistic for, you know, and very different than most movies where it's like, oh, yeah, let me do this. Woo. It actually, he had an arc throughout, like, why do I do this? Like, what was the, you know, like, I don't want to do this. Like, why am I, I'm not going to go do this. And so when they do that thing of like, so, you sure you want to go back home? I can't remember what was said there. And then it shows them flying back home. Flying him back home. I'm like, that was funny. And like, you just realize that, oh, they're actually kind of playing into the thought of, yeah, I wouldn't want to join a war. Oh, he's not wanting to join it either. Okay. And it made me start realizing, because I didn't even, honestly, as I was getting into the movie, I wasn't even thinking about the title of the movie anymore. And then once I realized, oh, wait a minute. All of these starfighter, and then like the whole base got blown up and everything. I was like, oh no. Like, okay, that's the point of the movie. He literally is the only one left. And so I love that they did that with it. I thought the acting overall was good. I loved Robert Preston's character, Centauri.
Yeah.
He was just so... It was truly... I don't want to say it felt like he was in a movie of his own. He was truly felt like a part of this movie, but he was so unique. Just the way he was portrayed. Like, he's an alien, but he's always in mostly in human form, and I loved the jokes of that. I loved that they played into that a lot. I felt like he was betting a lot, too, on this starfighter from Earth. I'm just like, what the heck is happening? And so there were many moments where I felt that way, where it's like, I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? And like the whole taking the beta droid, the beta robot, like taking his head off and like fixing it. It's like, again, like I'm still amazed that this, I know that it was the 80s. PG-13 wasn't a thing, but still, like, I was like, what the heck? Like, some of this stuff does not need to be in this movie. And then the whole joke of the Lewis, go to sleep or I'll tell your mom about your magazines. I was like, oh my God. And so it's like, and it's said twice. And that was really funny. I got to admit. So it's like, I'm like, okay, come on. The whole, like, there were some really funny jokes. There's some really funny moments. There were moments where I kind of threw my hands up in the air. Like, what, what just happened? But it wasn't like the movie to me, and I guess have alluded to this, the movie never felt ridiculous to me. It felt like the way they created this concept and how they did it, it felt natural. Nothing felt like too out of place. The only thing that I guess felt a little out of place was what's the bad guy's name? Zur?
Yeah, Zur, however you say it.
He was, weirdly enough, in a movie with some of the characters acting the way they were, he was kind of probably the most hokey one, the way he was acting and talking.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I even like the aspect of he's taken over the ship, supposedly, and then they're like, get him out of here, and they, like, start piloting the ship, trying to destroy the last starfighter of Alex and... Gerg. I'm going to mispronounce these guys' names. Grig.
Grig.
I loved... And look, the makeup and prosthetics that they used for some of the characters. Like, this movie felt like they were trying to make their own story, own world, own universe. And at the end, I was like, oh, it's the end. I mean, okay, like, good... I was like, okay, that was a good, complete story. But when they went off in the ship, him and Mags, Alex and Mags, and Grig, I was like, I kind of want to see what happens next. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen next?
It almost is like setting up like a sequel or a universe, and it just like never happened. Maybe that's the idea. Maybe make the sequel to The Last Starfighter like they did when they made Tron 30 years later or whatever.
You know, right. And you know what they have? This is a movie coming out years in advance, if it comes out. Star Wars Starfighter is a movie that's supposedly coming out. It's like Top Gun, I guess-esque in space.
Is that the one with Ryan Gosling? That's supposed to have Ryan Gosling
and Sean Levi directing. Or Levy, however you say his last name. But yeah, that's that one. But I remember a couple years ago, Star Wars was talking about doing a Top Gun-esque movie in space, like in the Star Wars universe. And it felt like this movie was like almost that. Like if you updated the effects and updated, it almost felt like they were kind of that in a way. Like it really was, I don't know. I honestly was amazed how much I really liked this film. Just because even though it definitely feels like a product of its time, the cool thing was there was a lot of practical effects too, along with a lot of CGI. And I liked that. I liked that there was a good combination of those. It didn't feel like it was all one way or not. Like, they built the base. They had the base there, but they also had the CGI outside shot of it. You know, they have that crazy car that Centauri comes and picks up Alex in, and they have the CGI version flying in space. But, like, they have physical representations of a lot of these different things, and I thought that was really cool. So, overall, man, I all that to say, I thought this was a really fun film with some "this is not a PG film" moments. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the 80s. I mean, what are you going to do?
It is the 80s.
What did you think of the music?
The music sounded like something I had heard before.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, I feel like I know this.
I don't know what it is.
I had the same reaction. I was like, this feels really familiar. But
it sounded good.
It was great. Yeah.
It totally was like the musical score was like, oh, it actually like fit the movie. It didn't, even though it had like reminiscences of like other things, that like it fit the movie, it fit it well. Like when you're going into the moments of like deep combat or like moments where it's more a little grim in the stuff, or even humorous moments, like the music always felt like it was good. Like the main theme, I think that they kept playing back and forth.
Yeah.
Like that actually, it gave a lot of life to the movie too.
When it like started off with the main theme, I was like, all right, I'm like, this is not as like, oh, this is going to be silly, but this is like this is taking itself seriously, and I'm here for this. Like,
yeah, oh man, it felt like the John Williams original Superman score.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like, I love the music in it too. Like, sorry, finish what you're saying.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, yeah, the music was great. For me, like, I think it's really interesting that we watched Tron a couple weeks ago, and now we're watching this one, because like the discussion that I've seen people when they talk about this movie is like, oh, this was like the first movie to really do like CGI, and now I'm like, I feel like I'm in the know, because I'm like, oh no, that would have been Tron. Like, yeah. Tron. And Tron, like, commits on a much bigger scale to, like, the whole CGI thing. Yeah. Whereas this one just kind of sprinkles it in at different moments. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that it's to this movie's benefit that it just sprinkles it in. Like, I mentioned George Lucas in passing earlier. I think this movie could, like, benefit from a George Lucas treatment.
Right. Special effects-wise.
I'm sure people that love this movie and, like, grew up with it in the 80s might disagree with me. I didn't grow up with this movie. I don't have any nostalgia for this movie. So, like, it did always kind of take me out a little bit when we'd go from, like, a really cool practical set to, like, a very obviously, like, primitive version of CGI. It was always a little jarring to go from one to the other. And with Tron, like, the whole back half of the movie is like in this whole CGI world, and so there is no jarring like jump back and forth, because it's all like that cheesy kind of questionable looking early CGI. But this, like, the way that it's kind of sprinkled in there, I don't know that it's for its benefit. Like, I think it could use an update in terms of like the special effects. I think the special effects are definitely dating this film for sure. I think all the practical stuff, like you said, with the prosthetics and like the practical like versions of all the vehicles and stuff that they had, and like the cockpits and everything, like, looked great and were great. But I think, like, I have trouble differentiating like my feelings when it comes to like, yes, it looks dated and it looks bad, but also it was kind of like, it was kind of blazing a trail that not many had gone down, and like,
right,
there's merits to that, but at the end of the day, when I'm watching this now in 2025, it does look dated, and it doesn't have the same charming level of dated that like Tron does, where you're like, wow, this looks really bad, but also like, it's so epic in its scale, and like, they swung so hard for that, like, yeah, I can appreciate that. Whereas this, it's like, Yeah, that scene didn't look good. But the rest of this looks fun. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's kind of how I feel about the look of this film. But apart right. from that, like, the story is not, like, groundbreaking or anything. It didn't...
No.
You know, it's not going to blow anybody's mind, especially if you've ever seen, like, any other major sci-fi space adventure type thing. Like, yeah. it's pretty standard. I did think... There's the scene early on when he's playing the video game and, like, everybody uh-huh. is, like, gathered around. Like, this is the most important thing going on. And I was like, yeah, this was written by somebody who liked video games. Like, this is... that's a little...
Right!
That was maybe more unrealistic than, like, the fact that the video game was a intergalactic training tool test thing.
Uh-huh.
It was more unrealistic that the entire... Trailer Park was so into him playing this video game.
Well, I will say, even in that though, like I guess because I don't know how, but like from even in that point in the movie, somehow, some way, I don't know what maybe the actor who played Alex or just seeing the life that was going on around the trailer park for a very little bit, they almost made me really believe it because you have these moments where it really feels like. There are people who don't really want to leave this place, even though they're kind of out by themselves in this trailer park, and that's all they've kind of known. Like they all are helping each other out, and it almost made me believe it. Even with like the what's the character's name? Is it Otis? He helps out a lot.
Maybe
in the film, I think it's Otis that he helps out. But I loved like I actually really liked. I really believed it a lot because the way the actor played it too, when he started realizing and his girl and Alex's girlfriend started realizing
mm-hmm.
that he was about to break the high score. I don't know why. Maybe it was just how they reacted and how they acted it out. But with that, plus seeing the trailer park stuff of Alex always helping out around there and everything, even if he didn't want to, it almost made me believe that they would be really excited. Just because he's always been there helping them, whether he wants to or not. And they all kind of were like, not a lot happens around there anyway, except for the crazy teenagers coming up and going somewhere and Silver Lake and going to Silver Lake and stuff. But like, honestly, like it, they made me believe it. I think just the way they acted and responded to everything.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. But, and like in that, like, I don't know. Like I didn't have the like my response when I'm seeing the you know all of them crowded on the video game thing was not like oh that's so unrealistic. It was like oh this is kind of a cheesy 80s thing. Like but I had you know it was fun. I was having fun with it and like I don't know. It does have some. It does have a lot of charm to it and it manages to like it's very Tron inspired. It's very Star Wars inspired. It manages to kind of find its own thing in some parts. I think in the latter half, I think when the climax is happening, it does kind of it loses me a little bit because it's not
okay.
Like I found myself being like, "This is cool. It's kind of like Star Wars. I wish I was watching Star Wars instead."
Mm.
And I don't want to like I hate to play the comparison game because this movie is not like.
It's not trying to be Star Wars.
It's definitely inspired. Like it's heavily inspired. It's not like
right.
I don't think it's trying to be a replacement for Star Wars. It's trying to take the Star Wars thing and do it
right
in a different way, and it does do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were times where I was like this reminds me a lot of Star Wars. I'd kind of rather be watching Star Wars right now, even though you know I still enjoyed it. I still thought this movie was good. Yeah, the characters are good. The prosthetics and the practical stuff is good. CGI is a little questionable. The music is fantastic. I listened again. So I watched the movie. I think it's been 4 or 5 days now since I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But I went before we recorded this. I went and listened to like the main theme again, and I was like,
mm-hmm.
"Yeah, that rocks! Like that's a great main theme. Like,
oh man, it's great.
It's really good.
It
that alone, like." The way that it starts with that, I was like, I went from like, this is going to be cheesy to like, I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, you've sold me. I'm in. I'm here.
It's amazing what a musical score will do to help a movie.
The music has a big impact on emotions and how you feel about a movie. And it certainly, my interest was piqued. I was like, this is, the music rocks. I'm here for this.
I don't know if you said this earlier. What did you think of the acting overall?
I thought it was fine. Like, it's got the like 80s thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's feels like an 80s movie. It's certainly not a timeless classic. It's very much like the cheesy 80s thing, but it works. Like, it works for what it's going for. I thought the performances were fine. I don't like Robert Preston was good. I didn't come away from the movie being like, wow, like that was such a great performance. But they were like, none of them were bad. Like, it was fine. It served the film adequately.
To me, there was also maybe I can't remember if you said something about this. To me, it's also like they actually never felt like they forced humor at times. It was just how the how the characters were acting was just how they were. And like, they weren't like trying to force a joke. Like, the whole thing of him betting on the starfighters, it just felt like that was a part of like why the way Robert Preston would talk. You're like, he seems like a salesman. Oh, and he's got a gambling problem. Okay, there's that. Like there was little elements of that. Plus, I was just thinking of this. There's a great moment that it caught me off guard, but I loved it. And you see these kind of like moments in movies, but the way they played it was great. They're right about to enter, like it's after Alex and Grig are out on their own in that one starfighter, and it says, "The Armada will break through the frontier here and reach Rylos at about 20 clicks. Squadrons of deck fighters will precede the mothership." Squadrons? How many squadrons? And then he keeps going on talking about it. He goes, "Wait a second. We knock out the turret to get the fighters, but to get the fighters, we gotta get through the fighters. We're dead. I'll have it all figured out by the time we reach the frontier." What's that? The frontier. And like, I just love that it was like so quick after it. You see Grig look at the alarm blaring, and he's like, "Wait, what's that?" And he just looks at almost at the camera like, "Frontier." I'm like, "Oh crap!" Like, it made me laugh though. Like, I had that "oh crap" moment. I'm like, "Oh, that's funny." So I don't know. I think that it never. Some movies, I think you and I have talked about this on the podcast. Some movies try to force too much humor.
Oh, I can think of some for sure.
It's a
big Marvel problem.
And I think that this movie, when it did humor, it wasn't like, it didn't feel like it was just trying to throw in a joke for a joke. Like, it felt like some of the lines were meant, like, oh, it could be funny when someone sees this. Or like that moment, the more visual gag, where it's like, "So what do you say?" And then they pan to them flying back to Earth. Like, it's like little moments like that, that a moment like flying back to Earth is meant to be funny, but a moment like this, it's like, oh, that's just a great, great moment to have that pan out that way. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I get you too, though. It's definitely outdated. It definitely
feels its age, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Like,
no,
I really love movies from the 70s, and I love when movies from the 70s feel like movies from the 70s. Like, it, there's just something about it that just like I love. And so, like, a lot of people are like that with the 80s. Like, a lot of people really love 80s movies. And I didn't grow up in the 80s, so I don't have as much affinity for, like, classic 80s stuff as most people, or as some people do, I would say. But I know that, like, that 80s style is something that appeals to a lot of people. So I could see this being appealing to, obviously, the people that grew up with it, but also, like, just people that love 80s sci-fi stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. It's a movie that, again, you know, like, I don't have, like, a ton else left to say about it. I just, it was nice to watch, like, and it's nice to hear that both of us, you know, I know this is Multiple Takes podcast, but it's nice to hear.
We got our multiple takes out early on this one.
Right. Yes. But it's nice to hear, like, we both, like, found some, like, enjoyment, like, out of this film. Like,
yeah,
this movie,
I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, too, because I remember we talked about Tron. Like, we both, like, were shocked, like, oh, this movie's actually fun. Like, this is a really, like, even though it's 80s, there's some outdated stuff. Like, there's some really cool things they did with it and the way they approached it. I feel like this movie, like, even though it's pulling things from different areas, I like how you put it. It's inspired by, you know, it's definitely taking inspiration from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And not trying to rip it off. It's taking inspiration from different things and trying to make its own thing. And I like that, you know, they came up with, you know, you have that moment at the beginning where you have their own language that all these characters have on that space station. A very simple design too, the way their heads looked. That was the big thing. That was the big change they had, really. And with some, and then you have starfighters from all over the galaxies. Like, you wonder, oh, how long has this been going on? Like, questions you don't need answers to, but really cool that they make you think, like, this is a war that's been going on and still going on. And apparently that arcade game has probably been there for a long time. Like, you know, how long has this been going on, kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's a really fascinating movie, I think, too, just how they did it. The prosthetics, every aspect of it too. So, outdated, definitely, in a lot of areas.
I would say outdated. Like, the CGI is outdated, but the rest of it is just more. I don't know if I would say outdated as much as I would just say a product of its time. Like,
right, that's what I mean. Like, it more the CGI is the main thing to say of outdated.
Yeah,
but the story. I mean, like, that's why I said too. I think the story actually. Works pretty well for, like, you could put this in a nowadays time with a different director, better effects, and maybe even the exact same story or similar to it, and really make a not just a good movie with the story, but also a good movie with the effects too. I gotta say though, even though the effects look cheesy as all get out, the Death Blossom was awesome.
Was that the final move?
Yes, that was the final like thing.
So you liked that?
You didn't like it.
That almost took me out. Like, I was like,
oh,
I was
man.
Like, really? Like, I mean, I can see the, you know, I'm with you for the, like, CGI. We're gonna fly the ship into this little area, like, transition scenes. But I was like, that I did laugh at that scene, and not because. It was supposed to be a comical scene. I was like, this does look pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you think you would have laughed at it as much if it was, like, effects from now? Or do you think you would have still laughed at it just the fact
the whole,
that you realized
I, like, the
awesome
whole, like,
just
the
spinning thing?
Yeah, the spinning thing. I don't know. It kind of got, like, talked up as, like, this big epic thing. And then into like, the spinning, it was pretty funny. Like... I don't know. I can't imagine it with, like, modern CG, I guess, but, like...
You'd almost have to do something a little different. I feel like that's also a part of the product of its time a little bit, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's so cheesy.
How, like, are we going to do this? We're going to spin and shoot everything. Like, it's like...
The
it's,
only thing it was missing was some character saying, I'll try spinning. That's a good trick.
Oh, gosh. No, that would have ruined it. 1 out of 10 after that.
That's
no,
a different starfighter.
Oh, man. This is pod racing. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, man. So, with that being said, I mean, it seems like we had a fun time with the movie overall.
Yeah, I did.
What
yeah.
is your ranking out of 10 for The Last Starfighter?
I'm going to give this... I started the podcast... like, coming in, preparing to give this a 5 out of 10. And I have, since we've been talking about this movie, I have talked myself into a 6. It has...
Okay.
It was pretty fun. And I'm glad I watched it. And would watch it again. It's not my favorite movie of all time, and it didn't change my life. And, you know, it's got its elements, which are, like we said, a product of its time. And for me, not necessarily in a good way. But it's still an enjoyable experience. And, yeah, glad I watched it. 6 out of 10.
Yeah. Now, you know, I agree with a lot of those points. I'm glad I watched this. I think this is a movie that, like, man, I'm so glad, you know, we're doing this podcast. Because I've had it on my Movies Anywhere stuff, but I hadn't watched it yet. And I'm glad, you know, thinking, like, ooh, I haven't watched this. You haven't watched this. Let's watch it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. I think, you know, sometimes you need a movie that's just fun and has some really cool It's not trying to be deep with the story. It's just trying to have a good enough story where you care about the characters, the actors are good, and you can have a cool time. And, you know, as you said, I'll try spinning. That's a neat trick. I love the Death Blossom. I'll say this. My ranking out of 10 is 6.5 out of 10.
Jake, I think that's the closest. It's the closest we've ever come to rating something the same thing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I think some of the stuff that you mentioned, even some of the stuff, even though, yes, it was the PG movie in the 80s, that doesn't mean it's actually PG now. Some of that stuff was like, okay, why? Well, one of the particular things. But, like, it overall, like, still was a fun movie. And I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I think that is the closest we've ever been.
Yeah, 6.5 for you, 6 for me. That's neck and neck.
Yep.
All right. So I guess now it is time for me to recommend a film.
Okay. What is your recommendation, sir?
So, Jake, we've got a certain holiday coming up pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
For those of you who are listening along at home, we're talking about the 4th of July, also known as Independence Day.
Oh my god.
So the film that I'm recommending is Independence Day.
Independence Day. Are we doing the sequel as well?
I think we'll steer away from the sequel. I think we'll just stick to the classic one for this one.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So we're Independence Day. So yeah, it says it's on Disney Plus, Hulu.
Yeah.
Everything. So I should be able to watch it. I may own it? I don't know. We'll see.
I think I should be able to watch it. Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about this. This is a movie. I think we both have seen this movie. Am I not correct?
I have seen this movie. I think I've seen it once. But I would have been like an early teenager when I saw it, and I don't know that I could remember. I mean, like, I know the plot vaguely, but I don't really remember much about it. It's been a long time. That's part of the reason why I wanted to like check it out again. And also, it's, you know, it's Independence Day.
It's Independence Day. I'm excited. That's going to be fun. I have seen this more than once, but it's been a while since I've watched it. Honestly, a good amount of years. Probably maybe 6 or 7 years since I've watched it all the way through.
It'll be a good refresher for both of us.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited for that. That'll be good. All right.
And then, like, are there any other upcoming films that we're planning on talking about in the next episode, Jake?
I think there's a couple that we mentioned that we might see. Yeah, listen, you know, and I know some of them you may or may not have already seen, but it's been so hard for me getting out of the theater recently. But I'm definitely planning on, Lord willing, for the next podcast episode that we will be talking about Elio and F1. I do not plan on seeing Megan 2.0.
I also don't plan on seeing that. I didn't like the first one.
I have no desire. I know you saw 28 Years Later. I haven't watched the first two. I have no idea. So
you don't.
That may be a later.
I don't know that you need to see the first two. Like that, they exist in the same universe, but they're not the same characters.
Yeah,
they're like independent stories, so you could see it without seeing the first two. I have seen 28 Years Later now, and you could see it without seeing the first two. But
yeah, I'm also not more of a. I know it's probably considered a thriller, but I'm not. I saw the trailer, so that looks fun for someone else.
That's fair.
But yeah, I'm my plan is to see Elio and F1. I'm hoping to see F1 in a 40X theater, but I don't think I will be able to. Because Jurassic World's coming out soon, so I don't know.
That's a real shame. I know. As someone who has seen them both, I don't want to spoil too much, but F1 is a little better than Jurassic World.
Look, you probably already posted about the screen, but I think you saw the Monday Mystery Movie.
I saw the early screening of Jurassic World. So like, it doesn't come out for another like week and a half or something, but.
Yeah.
But I saw it early, and it was...
We can talk about that another time.
Yeah,
probably,
it was a movie. Yeah. when you see it, we can talk about it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm giving away too much. I'm still looking forward to watching it, but I have heard the things of it being just called it's a movie. So
it was one of the movies of all time. You know, it was not the worst movie I've seen this year.
That's fair. All right. Well, hey, do we got anything else left on the docket for us?
I don't think so, Jake. I think that'll pretty much do it for us today.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right, bro. Well, we have next episode, we'll be hopefully talking about Elio and F1, as well as the recommendation which you did of Independence Day. So excited to see that after not seeing it for a while. So that'll be fun.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been fun. If you hear our next episode, I don't know if it's coming out on July 4th, but if not, happy July 4th. happy 4th of July. Why did I say that so wrong? Happy Independence Day. We'll talk to you guys later.
Yep.